I have
current geek.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All Stars, geeks of the world, and you to keep you current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson, and I am here with Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Scott Johnson. What a great Friday. What? Wait a minute. It's Saturday. Wait. Someone's next to me pointing at me and shoving me. What's going on?
I can see that. This is weird. In fact, I feel like we can't exactly be ourselves tonight because we decided to have our better halves on the show to celebrate not only Valentine's Day, but the long-standing wish we've had to have our wives on Current Geek, and we haven't done it yet. So let me start by welcoming to the show the person to your right or left?
My left.
Okay. I can't tell from the camera angle. It is Miss Eileen Rivera, everybody. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
It's so nice to have you on a Frog Pants podcast for once.
Yeah, I'm podcasting again.
Long time ago.
It feels weird, but it's good.
Yeah, it probably feels weird because you're sitting next to me.
I know. This is just like...
Hey, it'll only get more awkward as we go. Yeah, don't feel bad. We couldn't do it, though, without all four of us, I suppose. And what a bummer it would be if the next person wasn't here with me tonight. It's my wife, Kim, and she is in the lower left quadrant for those watching at home. Hi, honey. How are you?
Hi.
It's good to have you here. How are you?
I'm just great. Thanks.
Good. Having you guys on is a treat, so thank you both for doing it. I know you probably there's a trillion things you could be doing, right? But... you've decided to come hang out with us, and that means a lot to us.
This is date night.
Yeah. It's date night. Finally.
Oh, we're double dating.
Yeah. Finally, that double date we've been promising all these years. Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to get right to it. We're going to have some fun. So everyone tuck in. Here are your headlines.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Tom, what's going on?
Well, the Avengers Infinity War is now in production, and if she wasn't right here next to me, I would still say that this morning my wife sat me down on the couch and airplayed the new teaser that shows some behind-the-scenes footage and explanation from Kevin Feige? I always forget how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, I think that's right.
The teaser features interviews with Chris Pratt, Robert Downey Jr., and Tom Holland, meaning that Chris Pratt and Tom Holland will be joining Robert Downey Jr. in that movie. Spoiler.
Before that, Robert Downey Jr. had a Facebook Live.
You showed me that, too.
I did. I showed you that as well, and it was like a five-minute thing, and guess who was interviewing him? Spider-Man
Oh, my. The kid, the new kid, then. The new kid.
And came out Chris Pratt at the end. So, like, that went out at 4, and then, like, 2.5 hours later, the real trailer or the teaser dropped.
Sure. All right. So this brings up an interesting point. Kim, you love the Marvel movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've seen them all. Yes. You get excited, maybe more than the rest of us do. You love that stuff.
There's a reason for that.
But you, why?
It's because I don't watch the trailers.
That's
ever.
True. So that's what I wanted to get to here. She is one of these people we've talked about it on the show before where I'll just... you know, I can't get enough. Like when Star Wars trailers hit, I have to have them all. When Marvel trailers hit, I have to just go. And Kim, even in movie theater, sitting next to me, will sometimes plug her ears, but always look down and not look at the screen. And I'm starting to think she's onto something because you seem to really enjoy that.
I do. I like having it be completely fresh. And I do have to leave the room a lot because he's like, you guys, you've got to see this new trailer. You got to see it. I'm like, okay, I'm out of here. And the kids get all excited about it.
It's usually me and the kids and we all want to see it, but it's you're the outlier. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but you're not wanting to spoil yourself. It's like her, Jeff Cannata, and like three other people I know that do this. And it's
hardcore. You used to get mad at me a little bit. You'd be like, honey, you got to see it. You got to see it. It's so, you have to. I can't believe you don't want it. I'm like, then you don't, I'm just going to walk away now.
Yep. So she is effectively not seen any trailers for anything that's outright. Well, nothing really. You've sort of avoided it all.
I avoid most of them.
So I'm just curious, Eileen, how do you feel about that? Like, do you think this is a good conversation for our audience? Is it better to wait or is it better to just suck it all in when you get it and go see the movie with everybody else?
I mean, I think it's a personal preference. I personally work for a company now that drops movie trailers, so I have to watch them.
Full disclosure, she wants you to watch all the trailers.
Yeah.
Watch them on Movie Clips. Thank you, youtube.com/movieclips. So I don't want to know too much. Mm. I will see the first trailer and probably the updated trailer, but I don't know that I would watch everything else that gets dropped, although in my line of work now, I might have to. So I generally don't like to know too much about the movie. It's really hard. Like, I was thinking about that for Guardians, because like, I'm so excited for that. And I think I'm going to be potentially uber spoiled where I work now. But prior to that, I would have probably only wanted to, you know, now there's that Super Bowl teaser, and that might be it. I want to see it because I want to get excited and I want to know that it's coming. But now I'm seeing, you know, posters with the, you know, getting excited about the soundtrack, you know, with all the cassette tapes and all that. I'm like, oh my God, now I'm thinking about it all. So well,
would it have been easier for you to say, have learned more about The Lobster before having to sit down and watch The Lobster?
Well, we actually watched the trailer. Okay. Yeah.
So wait, so last night we watched The Lobster, which to me was a big mistake because we still haven't seen John Wick. And
I'm going to throw
another work thing out here because it has just been certified fresh, the John Wick 2. So now I really have to see John
certified
Wick,
certified
right?
fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
On Rotten Tomatoes, yeah. So, which Fandango owns Rotten Tomatoes, just in case you didn't know that. We did watch the trailer for The Lobster, and I had heard about it, but I didn't know much more other than that trailer when I originally saw it. And then I was like, hey, we should watch The Lobster. We got excited. Trailer was cut so well. Then we watched it, and I swear 20 minutes into it, I'm already reading articles on my phone. He gets mad at me and he's like, are you going to watch this? Should we just turn it off? Cause you're just reading. I'm like, no, I'm paying attention. Then another 20 minutes later, he's like, oh my God, I think I want to fall asleep.
So, I think that's
amazing. I'm brushing my teeth. I'm taking a nap.
For those not in the know, this is 2016's The Lobster.
I've been thinking about The Lobster all day. Like, I keep thinking about parts of the movie that I'm like, okay, that was really interesting. That was really good. But it was not enjoyable while I was watching it.
I hate those kind of movies. Yeah. They stick with you. You might think about them later, but at the time, the enjoyment's not quite there. No. Colin Farrell, who else is in this?
Well, Colin Farrell and John C. Reilly, Rachel Weisz.
I like her a lot.
Anyway, lots of likable actors, and it seemed really quirky based on the trailer. It then was just really uncomfortable and odd.
Super awkward.
Yeah. Well, it is currently enjoying an 89% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes as well.
I mean, this is one where, hey, it's my job to build some video on it. I will gladly find people who did not like that movie and debate other people who did like it or the critics that did.
Yeah. Well, I've got a question for you, Kim. Given that this teaser, and I know you haven't watched it, is all behind the scenes. It's all about the beginning of the production. It doesn't show you anything in the plot. It's a lot of Kevin Feige talking about, this is what we want to do. Does that make any difference to you? Yeah. Or is it still like, nope, zero tolerance?
I think I would see that only because I know you're not going to see any of the action scenes, the, you know, parts of the story where you go, I feel like I've seen the whole thing. Most trailers that I used to see, I felt like, well, now I know it's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, at least much of the plot points are just given to you in those trailers. Yeah.
So I think, yes, I probably would see that. Yeah. Because it's mostly about interviews, and I think it's fun.
Well, hey, I know what we're doing after this.
Alrighty then.
We're going to sit down and watch that thing together as a family, like it should be.
Like in the old days. That's right. The early 2000s.
Indeed. I'm excited, though. Just one final note on this. Chris Pratt, Star-Lord, of course, and Tom Holland back as Loki, I assume, right? Not Tom Holland. Wait, did you say Loki was on? What's his name?
Tom Hiddleston? No, he wasn't in any of this.
No word on Loki.
Yeah.
I thought the rule was that Loki was just going to be in everything no matter what, whether you wanted him to or not. So maybe not so much.
The wish.
Yeah. But no, that's exciting. And that means if Tom Holland's in there, that means, yes, Spider-Man. He's the new kid. So I'm excited, man. Bring that thing. Yeah. It's going to be more than just the Avengers. It's going to be like the entire extended Marvel Universe. I'm very excited.
Well, and that's what Feige keeps saying in this teaser, is like, this is the culmination. This is what we've been working for through this entire process of thinking about this whole thing as a big long arc instead of just one movie. It's this movie.
Yeah.
So they'll stop doing them after this one. No more Marvel movies. Supergirl and The Flash are going to cross over again for a musical episode to begin at the end of Supergirl on March 20th. They're letting us know this time, like, your Supergirl episode is not going to be mostly crossover. There's just going to be a little bit at the end. And then it continues for the whole episode of The Flash on March 21st. Songwriters from La La Land, Benj Pasek, and Justin Paul wrote a song that The Flash will sing called Running Home to You. Supergirl and The Flash will duet on a song called Super Friends, written by Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's Rachel Bloom. And of course, if you didn't know, The Flash and Supergirl both were in Glee in the later seasons, and Glee's Darren Criss, a.k.a. Blaine, will be playing the music meister. He's the villain that will spark this whole musical malady. And by the way, if you didn't know, Carlos Valdez, who plays Cisco in The Flash, has released songs before. He can sing, as can Jesse L. Martin, a.k.a. Joe West, who was in Rent on Broadway. Jeremy Jordan, who plays Wynn on Supergirls, and Legends of Tomorrow's Victor Garber, who plays Martin Stein, and Arrow's John Barrowman, who plays Merlin Mann, all singers, all will be in this episode.
All right, so I already, Kim and I got through a season of Glee, and that's as far as we could go. It got goofy after that for us, but Eileen, I know you're a huge Glee fan.
I was till the last season.
Okay. Well, even up till then, let's say, and despite all the kind of behind-the-scenes weirdness that seemed to happen with that show, this has to be exciting for you as a fan of all things singing. You like the idea of your superheroes all hanging out and singing together?
It feels a little weird, quite honestly. But honestly, the three that was top mentioned, you know, The Flash, Supergirl, and then Darren Criss, they have, to me, three of the best voices that were on the show. Mm. So they legit can sing. They are legit. They can do this. So it just matters what is written for them. Like, I don't. You know, I'm not going to know. It could be
hokey. They got the guys from La La Land writing it. So that's been a huge hit.
That's something.
Yeah. And apparently, I mean, I don't watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, but apparently that's huge. So, it's all about the songs, really. If the songs aren't that cheesy and hokey, then maybe people will buy it. But
the titles so far are pretty cheesy.
Yeah. I know. It's kind of like
Running Home to
You. I'm a little worried about it, quite honestly. I mean, the abilities of all three of them, it's undisputed. They can all go and sing on Broadway and probably release albums and all that stuff.
And you got some credits there with Cisco and all of those.
I had no idea about that other stuff.
They're all going to be in that episode, presumably singing.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just don't write anything really cheesy and it'd be fine, but I don't know that's, it's all about what's written. It's all about the tune.
Okay, so when you watch a show like Scrubs or, I don't know, I can't think of another.
Buffy did it,
right. I guess Buffy's more like this. Like this is more akin to that. Than say Scrubs, because Scrubs is already a big parody and you kind of expect weirdness and things like that. And they've always had fun with music or whatever. Bob's Burgers is an animated example of this. There's always music when they can fit it in. But the idea of taking what I'm supposed to normally be kind of serious about these characters during the rest of the season and then just for this one time hang up my hat and be okay with music. I don't know how I feel about it yet. I guess I'll have to see it to find out. But this isn't the first time, right, Tom? Wasn't there some other Flash singing?
Grant Gustin has busted out a song before on The Flash. Yeah. But it wasn't like a musical episode. He just did a little singing at one point.
So Kim, as someone who,
and actually I think Martin Stein, Victor Garber, did a little singing on Legends of Tomorrow too.
Yeah. Kim, I know you don't like Kim and I never go to like Broadway style shows because it's not really our thing.
No.
But you watch this? Do you want to see Flash singing I'm Running Home to You?
I don't know. The title alone makes me a little like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Super friends.
Super friends.
We're super friends.
But give me some Bob's Burgers and I know, right? Oh my gosh.
Is that why? Is it because animation just is, they can just get away with this stuff and not break the fourth wall so bad, right?
Yeah, but they're not trying to be serious.
Right.
You got Linda just creating the songs as she goes, and they're all awesome.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah. I mean, everything about, I love when they get all musical on that show. But anyway, we've had this discussion on the show before why animation can get away with certain kinds of schmaltiness and certain kinds of storylines, and you can get a little cheesy in ways that live action no longer supports. But I don't know how I feel about my DC superheroes singing songs to each other. Time will tell. When does this air?
March 20th. March 20th and 21st. All right, on the 21st, on The Flash.
You have time to prepare, everybody.
Yep. So we're giving
prepare
you the heads
yourselves.
Up.
Yeah, tuck in.
This one made our subreddit because it got written up by someone else this week. But back in mid-January, Fred Topel at Rotten Tomatoes, which I should disclose my wife works for Rotten Tomatoes, noted that Fox Broadcasting President of Entertainment David Madden said he'd be open to a Firefly reboot, but only if Joss Whedon would do it. Madden says he suspects Whedon's probably too busy because he's doing all these movies these days. And he said Fox would not do a reboot of Firefly without Joss Whedon.
So if I'm being conspiratorial, I think that he's hedging his bets and saying this because he either knows or figures that Joss Whedon wouldn't have any interest in reviving it after all this time. But don't tease us like this. Like, this is like the show.
There's nothing to talk about on that front, right?
Right, like, right.
Seriously.
Exactly. It is a hallowed piece of entertainment in my house anyway, and I know it is for Tom, and I want more of it for sure, but don't tease me like this, because what this probably means is we'll never get anything, because Joss Whedon's moved on. He's got other stuff to do. He's already burned out from the Avengers. Like, Eileen, what are the chances he'd even come back and do this? Probably nothing.
I mean, no.
He won't, will he?
I just don't see it, but... Miracles happen.
Yeah.
I mean, is this Madden, who's been trying to get Whedon on the phone, kind of using the press to send a message like, Joss, hey, Joss, we want to do this. Mm. Joss, call us back, Joss.
Mm. Or it could be, he's not telling us, but he talked to him and Joss Whedon said, oh, we're my dead body. And he said, well, now I can safely say that this could come back. So all the brown coats.
I bring it up at all. It doesn't help you to bring it up. I guess maybe they just want to get people to stop accusing Fox because Fox canceled it, but you can't get past that. Fox, you did it. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Would it be, I mean, so maybe we can pontificate a little bit. Kim, do you want like original cast minus a couple of exceptions that we're already aware of?
Yeah. I'd say original cast.
So you don't
as
wanna,
much as you can.
You don't want like a reboot out of this thing.
No.
Not so much?
No.
Mm. Yeah, no. I think I'm the same. I like the idea.
Characters, but don't replace Mal. Don't replace River. Like that,
yeah, that seems like that would be bad. But then again, I'm also a big fan of extended universe type stuff like this. So it'd be cool to learn more about the Firefly universe. It doesn't have to be that ship.
But that's interesting.
But I need good, it'd have to be good. And Joss Whedon is the guy. And he's the guy that, breathed life into these characters and made them so special for me. So
what if it was a show about a crew on a Firefly that kept getting mistaken for Mal's Firefly and they weren't doing anything wrong.
Like a Life of Brian kind of treatment.
They would have to be just as compelling too.
Yeah. That'd be hard. That'd be really hard. So anyway, you know the old joke, how do the Reapers clean their spears? Don't you ever heard that joke?
The Reavers?
The Reavers, I mean. I didn't mean Reaper. Reavers? They put them through the wash. Anyway, moving on.
I would rather you leaf that one in the wind than say it again.
Ever.
Hey, I'm
Ever.
A dad. I'm supposed to do this.
Hey, during the Super Bowl last week, Google ran an ad for Google Home that used the trigger word for Google Home a lot.
Mm.
And apparently, as those of you with a Google Home probably already know, it set off thousands of Google Home devices.
Didn't they do this with Amazon? But Amazon did something to the...
Yeah, Amazon has done something to kind of disrupt it so that the Amazon Echoes don't respond if they hear the TV commercial.
Yeah.
After there was an incident where a bunch of people had stuff ordered because of someone on TV saying it.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I mean, you go out of your way on Daily Tech News Show to not say the keywords for the various services. And
we should do the same here.
We should.
I would like to say, because people get mad.
Yeah, in fact, I was afraid to say the words Google Home at first because that's you invoking it, but it's not quite the same as the other one. But did that, by the way, commercial for that thing drive you any closer to saying I would like that instead of?
Nah.
No, not so much. Okay.
Yeah. Wife doesn't get the employee discount anymore.
Oh, that's true. He doesn't have to disclaim everything anymore, Eileen. He used to have to come on every show and say,
I don't have to worry about saying anything because I don't know anything about it.
Right.
You do not like the Amazon Echo personality.
I think you've talked about this on your show before.
Yeah.
Why do you not like it? I don't think I've heard.
She hates me. Alexa hates me. I can't do anything to make anything right. Every time I ask, are you my friend? She's like, I don't have an answer for that. Like, really?
Yeah.
And then he asked the same question. Yes, I'm your friend. Seriously, Alexa?
Oh, that's hilarious. Hilarious.
Get along.
Yeah.
And it's not my fault. She started it. So I don't like her either.
And so when you want to put
it's
something
terrible.
On our shopping
we should
list.
All support each other as women, no matter if you're a robot or a woman. And she's just so mean. How am I going to let this go?
Our Alexa.
She will not be nice to me.
Our Echo got up, got dressed, took a train, and went to the National Women's March on Washington. So I don't know what's wrong with yours.
Yours are, well, apparently ours is not. Oh, did ours? I bet it did.
I don't know. You were there.
Well, yeah, but
actually,
like,
or
no.
In Park City.
Yeah,
Park
but
City,
did ours go to the one in L.A.? No.
No. No.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure, by the way, I haven't told Eileen this. I'm pretty sure I saw a picture of Ron Swanson, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. Can't think of his real name. I can't think of his name. Anyway.
Nick Offerman
up at Sundance making a face during the march, and I am 89% sure I saw Eileen in the background walking
I was
around.
Near him?
I think so.
It was too cold to even bother to look for anybody. I heard that I was like standing right next to John Legend. I could care less. It was 20.
It was really cold.
It was 20 degrees. I was like, oh my God, we're going to be out here for 2 hours.
It was a really cold winter.
Pause, but man.
Winter week. It's amazing how all you Hollywood type LA livers come out here and brave that snow. I don't know why you do it, but anyway, we were glad to have you here. Your aura was felt. Let's put it that way.
Oh, thanks.
And
Kim, do you get along with the Amazon Echo personality?
Just fine.
You love her.
Just fine.
Yeah. Kim's always telling her to turn it up.
Turn it up.
Like,
that's why she likes me.
Yeah, because Kim likes to cook with some like nice EDM techno style music going.
Absolutely.
Or something. And so it's always her in there going, E-L-X-E-A, without saying it.
Alexia.
Volume level 5. So yeah, we like that thing. The only time it ever turned on us is when Nick ordered that toilet paper.
Well, that
joke.
Was Nick.
Yeah.
He didn't think it would work. It was when we first got it, and he's like, Alexa, we need some toilet paper.
Oops.
Eileen will be standing next to it and tell it to put this on the shopping list.
See,
just talk to it.
All right. Well, I hope your relationship with her improves, Eileen, and best of luck in that area.
Absolutely.
I think it's maybe just in our house. I mean, I had to use it. I dog sat for my sister, and my brother-in-law tricked out the entire house to the Amazon Echo and Google Home. Mm-hmm. But yeah, taught me how to use the Amazon Echo for turning on the TV. And I had to do that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to turn on the TV.
Yeah, that's the next thing
that's
I want to
awesome.
Do. I want to get all that automation stuff going. But for now, I still have 20 remotes and Amazon Echo doing totally separate work.
All right. Finally, Pinterest launched Lens. It's a new search engine that uses machine learning to be able to let you point your camera at a real world object, your smartphone camera, and find similar items in Pinterest posts. Beta Lens tool is available in the Pinterest mobile app, rolling out this week in the United States on Android and iOS.
So, Kim, you use Pinterest
a lot.
A lot. She's always on her iPad or a tablet. Using it and looking at stuff and saying, Scott, look at this. And it's usually some food I really want. But what do you think about this idea that you're looking for, let's say you're at a party and somebody's made some crafty thing and you're like, oh man, I wonder if there are more of these. Take a picture of that. It uses machine learning to go then search through the rest of Pinterest and find like objects.
Similar.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I don't know if I would use it. Well, it depends on my mood. Sometimes I'm looking specifically for things, and then sometimes I just want to scroll through it because, you know, I'm at preschool teaching, and I think, oh, well, they're in playtime, so I'm just going to sit here and
check out
roll
Pinterest.
Through it. Yeah.
And do you, I mean, Pinterest more and more is trying to figure out more and more ways to get people buying stuff. This has come up on DTNS before, but this idea that they need to monetize more sort of sales through the service, and this seems like another way to do that. If you just really want to find this item and it's not obvious that you could find it somewhere else. At least I assume that's how it works, Tom. I don't know how this thing's actually spitting out this information.
Yeah. I mean, is it going to work for like clothing? Oh, I like what she's wearing over there.
No, that's the idea, is it'll be able to say, oh, here's some sweaters that look similar to that sweater.
But like, it'll never be in your size.
That's right. It's like Shazam for music, except for objects or for... Yeah. Home decor or whatever.
That seems, stuff.
Yeah, for stuff. That seems like a bad idea for me, but a great one for you, hon. I don't want more stuff, I can tell you that.
Neither do I.
No. But I'm always interested in what Pinterest does given its weird marketplace. Like it's such a niche place that it's in. And I say that knowing that I use Pinterest for some things. I have friends who use Pinterest that you'd never think were going to be Pinterest users. I have a friend who's all into motorcycles and parts and taking old Harleys and doing things to them. And he uses Pinterest because there's a huge Pinterest group for his motorcycle enthusiast group. And it's just such a strange little thing, strange little ecosystem that every time they do something to it, it's interesting to me, but I don't think I'll ever use it.
Until you need it.
Until I need it.
I'm wondering if I could use this for food, because I put all of our recipes up on Pinterest and we sit there before I go grocery shopping and Eileen and I pick out what I'm going to make for the week.
Yeah.
But so I'm wondering if I could point it at stuff and say like, hey, where's the recipe for this? This looks amazing.
Yeah. Tom tells me he's quite the cook these days. Can you confirm?
He's so good.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah. I've been hearing this.
It wasn't that way when we first got married and when we first started dating.
She's not just being nice.
No, I'm like, I was shocked at some of the food that he made early on in our relationship and I did not want to eat it. But now he is really a really great gourmet chef, everybody. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
He's got chili waiting upstairs. He made it.
Whoa.
I can't wait.
Jeez, I know.
That's
just
awesome.
Just imagine the pain of getting through the rest of the show. Hey, well, hey, we should tell people at home, thanks for submitting a lot of these stories. What happens is we get submissions from people on our Reddit and elsewise that recommend these great stories. Tom, who should we thank this week?
Well, this week, Gatekeeper, DVandiacal, and KilloCharlie12 all posted things at currentgeek.reddit.com that we used on the show. Keep them coming, folks. We love to see all the stuff, whether we use it on the show or not. It's just fun to see all those stories in there.
Now, one of the things we do on the show, and we're going to do it today just because, is we like to have our guests talk a little bit about what they're doing. And usually it's like, oh, I'm a director, and here's my new movie coming out. Or, oh, hey, I run a website, and there's what we do. It's going to be a little different today because Tom and I know what our wives are up to, but I want to hear from their own mouths. So, Kim Johnson.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us more about what you're up to these days?
Well, I am teaching preschool. That's my thing this year. It's been really fun, but I am also stay-at-home mom the rest of the time.
Yep.
Trying to keep
and my accountant. She's my accountant.
I am an accountant. Yep. I am the chef of the household.
Yep. No one eats without Kim. I'm telling you, Frog Pants crumbles to its very foundation. Without all the crap she does for me that I'm not doing. So that's
awesome. And also, by the way, you throw out teaching preschool, like, you know, that's something you wrap up in 30 minutes. Like, that is not easy.
No. How many kids you got in there now?
I teach 5 days a week, so I have two different classes and 8 kids in each class.
8 per class? Mm-hmm. Well, that's more than I thought. So that's 16 kids per week that you got to keep sane, have them putting their boogery noses all over everything.
It's like herding cats.
It is like herding cats. But sometimes they love her. They call her Miss Kim and they love her.
Yeah. It's really fun.
Yeah. She's shaping the next generation of Americans, you know.
Yeah, first day of school is Miss Kim, why is your hair purple?
Yeah.
I'm awesome. That's why.
Nice. That's really awesome. Cute. If you want to find more of Kim Johnson, you can find her usually hanging around with me and on pictures on Instagram and stuff like that. And Facebook and whatnot. All right, Eileen, your turn. What are you doing these days? Big job change for you. So exciting.
Yeah, these days I'm making some videos for a small little property called Fandango and another one called Rotten Tomatoes. Mm. So we are building some content. There's already some content on Fandango if you go on YouTube, Facebook, but we'll be doing a lot more on both properties throughout beginning this year. So
when I start to I go to Rotten Tomatoes and I see one of these little video previews that says Ricky Gervais sat down with us and talked about whatever, a lot of the stuff you're going to be producing that stuff.
My team, yeah. So the junket interviews that you see, we've got some hosts that regularly do those interviews. Yeah,
that's
those
awesome.
Type of videos and many more that haven't seen the light of day yet. So
that's so cool.
We're still working them creative juices.
They ever going to put you on camera? Are you going to show up on camera or asking questions or anything? Is it all behind
me?
The scenes? Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Just no,
you know, sneak me. In there. Just do a little. I don't know. A little Eileen quick face or something.
Yeah, I know. Maybe like a little post on Instagram, but no, that won't be me.
No, you want her? You got to follow Face of E on Instagram and get into the Korean beauty scene.
Yeah, I was talking to Kim about this. That's huge around here. People are so into Korean cosmetics and stuff, except for my Korean siblings and their family. None of them seem interested at all. So I'm starting to wonder if the Koreans don't give it a crap at all about it.
I don't know. We were just there in Seoul.
They
I would
to
think
care.
Different.
You guys were on the ground. I was going to say, you probably saw all sorts of interest in that.
There are many, many Korean beauty stores.
It's a whole neighborhood where multiple versions of the same store exist within blocks of each other.
Yeah, think Starbucks, but...
I was going to say.
Tony Moly is a big brand. Vanilla company.
Wow.
Nature's Republic. Those are the Starbucks of Korea.
I just know I sit out front of Sephora and wait for people to come out of it. And that's all.
Oh, yeah, because there's a lot of Korean products in there now, too. I mean, not to mention all the other great products that are there. Mm-hmm. But they're starting to import a lot of those Korean products.
Yeah. It may just be that my Korean family are weird. It may just be that.
There's a whole geeky scene around this, too. It's actually really fun to watch. They have conferences. They have cons. They have cons just like any other thing.
I'm waiting for Tom to get into it. Is Tom going to get into it one of these days?
You know, he bought a mask.
I was the first one on our trip to buy a face mask, and I still haven't put it on. So.
All right, we'll do it on save it for one of these shows, will you?
Yeah, okay, we'll do.
Very interested in that. All right, before we get to the pop quiz, real quick, a mention about our little Crate Joy that we do. Frogpants.cratejoy.com. Here on Current Geek is an exclusive thing that we do for this show, and it's how we help pay the bills. If you haven't checked it out, go to frogpants.cratejoy.com. Tom is currently holding up a couple of items from a recent box, and that's what it is. It's a random box full of geeky stuff. Sometimes we create it, like that art you saw was mine. Sometimes Tom does. You'll find like book excerpts and that sort of thing. Shot glass with Current Geek on it. Neither of us made that, but it's still pretty rad. And people are making cool stuff like this all the time. So if you want to take part in that and get things from us, things from our guests, and a whole lot more, get the monthly Crate Joy at frogpants.cratejoy.com and help us out. We'd really appreciate it. All right. It's time for this.
America scores and wins.
All right, it's time for the pop quiz. That means that you guys are going to be tested in areas of your expertise. Tom and I came up with the categories with a little bit of talking back and forth with you guys. We may have cheated just a little bit. Tom's going to keep score this entire time. And at the time, or at the time we're done, we will see how you did and compare. If you get a question right, you'll hear this. If you get it wrong, you'll hear this. And we're going to start with Eileen. Eileen, are you ready?
I think so.
Your topic is The Voice.
Oh my God.
The television program, reality television entertainment program, The Voice.
Which we should disclose is an NBC show.
That's right.
Which NBC Universal owns Fandango.
They're right. All my coworkers. Adam Levine is my coworker.
Wow. You guys, the office party must be something else. All right. Here's your first question. What year did The Voice premiere?
I remember where I was sitting when she watched the first episode.
Oh my
2010?
Gosh. You are so close. Or no, sorry. Wrong. The year is 2011, but you were very close. I hit the wrong button.
Man. So she gets 9/10 of a point for being just one.
Just
year
one
off.
Away. Yeah.
Oh my God. This is how you guys are going to cheat for me.
This is exactly how Tom teach for everybody. So I don't even see
rules.
This as a conflict.
It's the rules of the game.
Yeah.
Ken from Chicago. That was American Idol 2000.
Oh yeah. American Idol was
different,
2000.
Different show.
Okay. Who won the first season of The Voice?
Oh my God. Javier Colon.
Oh, look at this. You got that right. I would have said Colon, but what do I know? What two original coaches from the first season are still on the show?
Well, that would be CeeLo and... You mean still...
Repeat the question.
What two original coaches from the first season
are
still...
Who are not on the show. Sorry, Adam and Blake.
You are correct. Adam Levine and Blake Sheldon. That is correct.
She gets a full point but loses a tenth for her husband having to nudge her. To say that okay,
yeah, you make quite the face, I noticed. Second to last.
I didn't listen to the question. It's all good. The wax in my ears.
You've had a busy week. I understand. Second to last question. What year did Christina Aguilera leave The Voice?
Okay, now here's the problem with The Voice is that there are half seasons, you guys.
That's the problem.
And so it's really difficult to, it's not a full year.
Right.
These are half years.
Right. They do it in chunks.
So, but, and then the other unfair thing about this question is that she leaves and she comes back.
That's true. She does. But when did she leave it for the last time?
Technically, then it would be 2016 because she left, she came back, and then she left, then she came back, then she left again.
Well, let's see if the judges agree. That is correct. 2016 is correct.
All right, so you get a full point for being correct, and then you lose 2/10 of a point for excessive explanation in advance of a correct answer.
There is I don't lose any points here. I'm just trying to explain how difficult this is because these are not full seasons.
This is the first real challenge to Tom's scoring because you're right there. You can like punch him.
No, 3.8. I did not lose.
That's the ruling.
Come
I'm sorry.
On. All right.
His word is final. Okay, final question. Here's your big one. For all the knuckles or whatever the old phrase is. Who were the first two coaches to be confirmed for the show for the first season?
Christina and Adam? I actually don't know.
Incorrect. Adam Levine is one of them, but CeeLo Green is the other one.
CeeLo. I kind of
all
think
right,
it was
so she
great.
Gets a half point for Adam and then an extra 2/10 of a point for saying CeeLo earlier in the quiz.
Oh, well done. Well done. Oh, see, nice. You get sometimes you get a little bonus and it's your husband and I still don't see it as a conflict. It's fine. All right, Kimmy, you ready for yours?
I'm just going to put it out there. I'm the worst at trivia.
Yeah, so. She doesn't like trivia. But I'm giving you something that we watch constantly with the kids or otherwise because it's on Hulu and I feel like it's on 24/7 these days.
I'm not sure what that is.
Seinfeld okay. trivia.
Oh, okay. We do watch a lot of Seinfeld.
Yeah, lots of Seinfeld around. Here's your first question. Right. What baseball player does George have to drive to an event but follows a driver he thought flipped him off? I told them to go easy on these, but that may not be easy.
I don't remember. I can see his face. Does that help?
Yeah. No. It doesn't help. Do you give up? Do you want to guess?
I give up. I pass.
All right. Pass. Gives you a big ain't, but it was Danny Tartable. Danny Tartable.
You know what? You're going to get point two because it's Danilo Tartable, actually.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Of course you'd know that. All right. Next up, what superhero is referenced in many episodes of Seinfeld? You might say it was Jerry's favorite superhero.
Superman.
You are correct. Nicely done.
Thank you.
And point speed bonus.
What kind of candy bars does Mr. Pitt eat with a knife and fork?
A Snicker bar.
Well done. Now they're getting more in our wheelhouse. What is the name of the restaurant where Jerry and his homies hang out, meaning his friends? So this is the real name of the restaurant.
It just left my mind.
You went to it when you were in New York, didn't you? Or am I thinking of somebody else? I thought you did.
Oh my gosh, why can't I think of this? Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
It's a rough one. Do you give up?
Yes, I passed it.
Monk's Cafe is the correct answer. Monk's. It's all right. You got one last chance here to get a point.
All right.
What does George's fiance... Wait. Oh, die. He put dough, but he means die. What did George's fiance die from?
Licking the wedding envelopes.
You are correct. Nicely done.
Double speed bonus, so double point there.
Oh, wow. All right, well, now that we've done that, we don't know where this all ended up. Tom, how'd they do?
They ended up with an exact tie of 4.3 apiece.
Oh, look at this. That is either just the craziest happenstance or the smartest thing, Tom.
Don't you think, Scott?
The smartest thing you've ever
done. Tom has never done a smarter thing in his life. Well done. All right, that does it for that. Big fun. Thank you guys for participating in the concept of what we call Pop Quiz. Now settle in for forecast.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
So we used to have this show, Tom and I, called Forecast. And you two were on that show before. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what our predictions were then. Mm-hmm. They were probably great, though.
They were.
They were awesome.
Yeah, they were incredible.
I know it.
So we've decided to carry that over in a small way onto this show and do a little prediction of our own. So this one came from you, honey. Do you want to explain yours?
Sure.
All right. So tell me your prediction. Yours is way out, 100 years out.
100 years out, which is, things can change. This is just a prediction.
Sure.
It won't all be replicators like everyone always talks about. We talk about it all the time. We talked about it 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. There will always be the Neelix types who cook because they love it. I feel this way. I love to cook.
Yeah.
And rather than go out, a lot of times I like to cook.
That's true. So what you're saying is, we always talk about, well, if we get the Star Trek future we want, part of that future is these replicators that you can walk up to and say, look, I want a cheeseburger and fries, or I want a chocolate shake or whatever, and it'll replicate the best possible formation of what you've asked for, and you can make little requests like it needs to be medium rare or it needs to be Earl Grey hot.
And don't get me wrong, that would be really nice.
Yeah, no kidding.
And sometimes you'd want that, but I don't think it's going to replace all cooking.
So you think there will still be people that would rather get the ingredients and just get
it's
to the table?
Better
and,
that way.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
I do.
All right.
I think so.
Thoughts? Tom, Eileen, what do you think of this idea? Tom, you're the cook these days. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, apparently, right? He's absolutely right, because I think we've seen this sort of thing happen where mechanical versions of chairs, for instance, exist, right? But we didn't stop having people make furniture. In fact, handmade furniture is a booming, you know, sub-industry. It may not be what everybody can afford to buy or what everybody chooses to buy, but that idea of like, oh, you know what? I want to go to this one person that I know who's a craftsman, that carries some weight. So I think this makes sense where, yeah, sure, if replicators come along, we may all start to use replicators, kind of like we use microwaves now, but that doesn't mean that people won't want a really well handcrafted meal. I guess the question is, will there really be a difference? If replicators get good enough, is it just in your mind and is that fine? Mm. Or will there always be that intangible thing that humans bring to the table?
I think it's hands-on. I think people will still want to do it because it's a hands-on. I do it because I love to do it. I mean, my sister thinks I'm crazy because I would love to be a sous chef. I would like to chop vegetables. And she's like, you're crazy. I'd rather just have it made for me and it's all done. Mm. But I enjoy doing that.
Yeah. So I
not,
have
not for everyone.
It's like vinyl records, right? Kind of. There's always going to be when a technology like that goes away or becomes obsolete in favor of something bigger, better, or more mainstream, somebody someplace is going to go, well, we need to revive this and have this little boutique lifestyle, or you know, centered around getting vinyl records. And in this case, cooking our own meals, or at the very least, once a month, we have some big thing with a bunch of ingredients. And we were talking earlier, this idea about, you know, some of the food services like HelloFresh and Blue Apron and these people that will deliver meals to your home that are ready just to prepare, maybe that becomes, or something like that becomes the way to do it. Maybe the replicators are just making your ingredients and then you assemble when you have the time, and then you can be creative and do things that computers can't think of or whatever.
Yeah, there's something about having everyone help out too. Nick really likes to cook and he gets in the kitchen with me and does half of it and I do half. And I don't know. It's a kind of a family thing.
Yeah. If you want really well julienned spinach,
yeah,
you can have the replicator do it. You know,
there,
or whatever.
There you go.
You say that, but, and I assume you're talking about a real thing, but I'm sure that's a real thing and awesome when you do it right. I have no idea.
Well, julienning is a type of cutting.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
No.
Oh, I thought it was a lady.
That's julienne who does julienne.
Who can julienne?
Eileen, what's your broad take on the future of how human beings feed themselves?
I think people always want their mom's cooking. Grandma, grandpa, if he has a good, you know, meal. Mm-hmm. There's always a little bit of that. Oh, but he makes it just this way and it's so much better than
McDonald's. There's always something different about it. Yeah. Kim, you brought up something that I hadn't even thought of, which is people doing it because they want to. A lot of, like, people knitting. You don't need to knit, right?
True.
You can go buy perfectly nice wool socks at the store, but people like to knit, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's something cool about getting like a knit scarf from someone that you're like, oh, you made this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. As much as, isn't it kind of across the board? As much as I like working on this Wacom tablet, I do like the feel of a nice piece of paper and charcoal once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then people where that was the new technology were like, man, I like the feel of a rock against the cave wall once in a while. Like, it's just relative, and we're going to have these creature comforts probably forever, no matter how convenient they get. So I think it's probably a decent prediction that we'll never get to a place where automation completely replaces us any more than there are going to be people who are really into cars who want to watch old reruns of that British, I can't think of, what was it called?
Top Gear,
yeah, and their new one on Netflix, I guess, or on Amazon, but they're going to want to watch that. They're going to want to collect old cars. They're going to want to take that Mustang and restore it to its 1963 glory, even if in every other way in their lives, a robot is picking them up and dropping them off everywhere they go.
And they're going to want a replicator producing the parts.
Yeah. There you go. That's a good way to tie it in.
They're going to want to put it together with their own two hands. Yeah, that's true.
I think that's true. Well, there you go. If you guys have your own forecasts to give us and you'd like to suggest them for the show, been watching for those in email. They do come in. Send us an email, currentgeek@gmail.com. We're always happy to talk about those. Real quick before we go, we have an email from Jerbson B, I think is how this person's name is. It's super short. This is, I don't know quite what to make of this, but he says, "Dear Current Geek, what are we to make of all these Trek delays for the new TV show?" So we've talked about this a bunch, and we've talked about the news of the delays, but I think what he or she are saying that this is, we're now to the point, this thing's been delayed so many times, lost its showrunner, has been so vague about when it is actually coming out. Do we actually think it's doomed, I think is what he's asking.
Well, they started shooting, so something's going to come from it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if folks haven't been following along, Brian Fuller was supposed to be the showrunner. He started and kind of set the show Bible and then left the production. They were supposed to launch in January. They delayed it till May, and they still were doing casting up until last month. And then they finally started production and delayed it again to no date. They haven't set a date. And I think that's what's got people really unsettled is this idea that, you know, we lost a showrunner and now they've delayed it twice and there is no solid date for when it's going to return. I mean, well, how would you interpret that?
You're scrambling
to
fix something that didn't work. So obviously something didn't work.
And something these are recoverable, right? Like Man in High Castle lost their showrunner. And I would argue did better for it.
Mid-season even.
Yeah, and it was new season was incredible. Walking Dead had their season 2 loss of showrunner, who was a big deal. And that was, you know, 2 was also seen as a bit of a bummer. Plus, there were some strikes and other things that contributed to it. But that show picked itself up and found its legs. Maybe what we're talking about here, maybe the worry is coming from we don't even have a first season with a solid showrunner that's done and in the can before we have the falling out. And that's
and it may not be a falling out. Brian Fuller may have intended to be on board with this and then realize that the schedule just is not going to work for him to do the other projects he wants to do. Don't forget, he's involved with American Gods and a bunch of other things. Yeah. And it may be where his eyes were bigger than his stomach. Like he wanted so badly to be involved in Star Trek and then had to admit that he wouldn't have enough time and separated himself from it. And so it's not bad blood in that if that's the case. It's just like you're saying, Eileen, it's scrambling like, oh, crap. Well, now what do we do? And it makes everything take longer.
Yeah. The bummer is we have all this momentum. We have successful film franchise. We brought that back successfully. It just feels like an opportunity wasted to get it back in the format where it's best. Star Trek is a TV show, man. That's where it belongs.
That's where it shines.
That's where it should be. So I'm really hopeful they get this worked out. If they're filming, probably Vancouver, right? That's where everything gets filmed.
And maybe because of the stakes with the Star Trek franchise, they don't want to get it wrong this first time out.
And that's what they say,
So I kind of believe that. I mean, I would personally, if I was in charge of it all, looking at if it was a little bit messy with the organization, like this is not, we're not going to put out the best to the audience, and the minute you don't, it's over, you know?
Yeah.
These days, it feels like the minute it's bad, it's hard to recover.
Yeah.
And the problem is, that's an excuse that people who aren't meaning it use to justify their delays. So a lot of people jump to the conclusion that when they hear that, it's a lie. Mm. But with Star Trek, it shouldn't be. And with Brian Fuller involved in any respect, his name's still going to be on this, right? As an executive producer, he should want it to be right. So I'm hoping that that's what's going on is they're like, no, you know what? We need to make sure we do it right. And because it's going to be on CBS All Access, we don't have to hit a particular date, which is also true. They can release whenever they want to because there's not a programming schedule that they have to fit it into necessarily, at least not as strict of a one. So, yeah, I hope you're right.
I guess we're just missing that part of the communication. They're not really getting out in front of it and saying anything about it. So we're with you, Jerbson B. We would really like to know what's going on.
That's exactly what they're saying. They're saying we want to get everything right, and so we're delaying it. And it's because of CBS. Like, they're saying all those things I just said, but we all like, yeah, sure.
You know? Maybe we just don't believe it, I guess.
Yeah.
So, Kim, you have not been exposed to Star Trek, this new series, at all because you avoid these things. I wanted to, you know, until we're out, you'd rather not know what's going on.
Stick my head in the sand?
I just want to lay something on you about it. Then I want to get your reaction to whether you think it was a good idea or a bad idea from them. It is set 10 years before the Kirk years.
Okay.
How does that sound to you?
I'm with that. I
you
can
okay
do
with that?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't want some future post Picard time?
It's already future, so we're kind of like.
Well, it's future either way, but I mean, this is like a prequel, right?
Yeah.
And you're okay with that?
I'm good with
all right.
that, yeah.
All right, maybe that works for...
Everything they've done so far, I've been happy with.
So. I'm worried about that, so the fact that you're not makes me feel a little better.
Hold your hand through this, Scott. You can do it.
Thanks, honey. I appreciate the backup. That's your email. Big thanks for that. CurrentGeek@gmail.com is where to send that. And that is going to do it for today's Valentine's special. There is the chili's still up there. It's still warm. It's good. I don't know what we're eating.
Crockpot's still cooking. It's not even ready yet.
All right. Well, then we're all set. I want to thank you guys, though, bottom of our hearts, our pink hearts with an arrow through them, for being here with us today. Eileen, it was a super cool pleasure. Look at you two. So cute. One of my favorite couples in the world. Married now, what, 13 years?
It'll be 14 this year.
Man, that you're already breaking the statistics with that. Well done.
Beating the odds.
Yeah, and then Kim and I will help us on the weighted numbers a lot because we hit 25 this year. Yes. I know, we're old. We're old. Well, I'm the same age as Tom, but we've been married forever. So big thanks, Eileen. Thank you, Kim. I can't see you over there. But
hey.
Thanks,
I'm
babe.
I'm still over here. I'm good.
Everyone at home can see you. And thank you, listeners, for being with us and enjoying hopefully what will become a little tradition. I like it. I think it's fun.
Yeah,
Keeps Tom and I, what's the word I'm looking for? Keeps us straight? Not straight.
We're trying to get Sawyer up into the video.
Oh, yeah, get the dog up there. Oh, there you go.
There we go.
Sawyer. He's trying to call us. He's like, guys.
Chili.
I got chili and dinner. We got to go.
Yeah, it's like bacon in our house. Our dog would lose its mind.
Oh,
shit. Well, it was good having you both on. Tom, anything else you want to mention? The book's out soon.
I just approved the ebook, so that should be showing up for pre-order in the Amazon store. You can already pre-order it at inkshares.com and on audible.com. Pilot X. There's going to be a meetup here in Los Angeles shortly after, like I think on March 18th. So more details on that coming. But bunch of Barnes and Nobles ordered it, so you should be able to find it on bookshelves in various stores around. Keep an eye out for it. Pilot X by Tom Merritt.
Check it out. It's going to be awesome. So excited for it, and you and everybody involved. So do check it out and get your copy as soon as you can. It's going to do it for the show. CurrentGeek.com for all our contact details. Find us on Twitter at CurrentGeek, Scott Johnson and Ace Detect. Big thanks to Andrew Allen for our theme music. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, and for these lovely ladies. We'll see you next time.
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. This week, we finally break the seal on the new political regime with a look at the most likely legal challenges facing President Trump's recent executive order on immigration, banning entry from certain countries. Before diving into this order, a brief sidebar. This segment is not political and has no plans to become so, even with the current climate of the U.S. You will not find my personal views here, only education to make us all better equipped to face the conversations and interactions on social media and beyond about these hot topics. That said, let's look at this order. Headlined by the Mexico border wall, one of the top campaign focuses for President Trump was immigration, and he has wasted no time using executive orders to try and deliver on some of his promises. The first major immigration EO was a suspension of new refugee admissions for 120 days, coupled with a ban on travelers from 7 Muslim-heavy countries for 90 days. The order came out on a Friday afternoon, leading to a wild weekend of airport detentions, protests, and legal challenges. The Trump administration defends the order as protective of U.S. borders and helping restrict potential terrorism. However, the 4 federal judges who reviewed injunction orders challenging the enforcement of this order each put some type of hold on the order, finding that there's a substantial likelihood that the challengers to the order will prevail on the merits. So what are these legal challenges, and will they succeed? One challenge is that the order violates the 1965 updates to the Immigration and Naturalization Act, which prohibited preferences or discrimination on the basis of race, sex, nationality, or place of residence. Comments made by President Trump, and the wording of the order, may fall right into this prohibition. It's also possible that the order is too ambiguous to properly enforce, as it's been debated even by the administration whether it applies to green card holders, who are actually legal residents under immigration law. Other challenges yet to be made include whether the order complies with the Constitution. Legal experts plan to challenge this order based on failure to provide due process required under the Constitution, and also under the First Amendment, as an improper establishment of religion by favoring Christianity and other religions over Islam. Those challenges might be longer shots, as they rely more on outside circumstances, but the entire picture provides a negative outlook that this executive order will not survive in anywhere near its current form. The bottom line is, the prolific use of executive orders under Presidents Obama and Trump can lead to troubling results, but thankfully, hastily worded and poorly vetted orders can also be subject to easy legal attack. What will be interesting is not whether this EO survives, as it probably won't, but what future orders will be tailored better by this administration. Indeed, the Trump administration is already discussing another sweeping immigration order, refusing entry and or deporting those who would or are dependent on public resources like welfare. The battles will likely continue as long as immigration is a primary focus of this president. Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.